Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Minnesota National Guard's Cyber Protection Team, get an update from the Minnesota Family Services, and check in with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon Network is an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program is vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. You help ensure our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you're ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. That's beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. The Minnesota National Guard is preparing for emergency cybersecurity threats by establishing a cyber protection team. Team's mission is to provide the Department of Defense with capabilities to defend information networks through vulnerability assessments, penetration tests, and discovery and other counter-infiltration scenarios at both the federal and state level. And joining us today to talk about the Minnesota National Guard's cyber awareness is Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Cunningham. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Sir, can you tell me how long have you been in the military?
Actually, 22 and a half years today.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, nice anniversary, and you already made it all the way to Lieutenant Colonel. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about your career? It's brought you to a few places, and now we're going to talk in a few minutes about standing up a new team.
Sure. Yeah, I enlisted in 1997, started off my career in communication security, working with encryption for the tactical radios. Went off to officer candidate school in 2002, and as soon as I got back from my officer basic course, I was shipped off to Bosnia as part of Security Forces 14 with 2136 up out of Moorhead.
And was there anybody thinking about cyber protection back then?
I don't know if it was termed cyber, but my role on that mobilization was actually information assurance and security officer.
So protecting communications and things like that.
Correct. Making sure people had the right user accounts and were doing the right things on the networks.
So in 22 years, how many deployments have you gone on?
I've been on 3 deployments. Did that Bosnia deployment and then went on the Iraq deployment that 1st Brigade did back in 2005 to 2007. And then again with the 34th Infantry Division from 2009 to 2010.
So you've been hard at it with a lot of deployments and a lot of different jobs.
Yeah, I've actually since then I've been able to go to Germany and Japan and Estonia, and actually Germany twice now. So,
now, sir, I understand that earlier this year the Minnesota National Guard, or maybe it was before that, decided to stand up a new team called the Cyber Protection Team. How did you end up getting in charge of that duty?
Well, a lot of it had to do with the people that were making the decisions. I happened to know a lot of them and had a lot of respect from them and for them. You know, we were talking earlier about Colonel Fassbender and General Horvath. And you know, another person would be Lieutenant Colonel Nate Schilling, who has been a peer of mine for a long time, really proud of where he's gone in his career. And then them knowing the background that I have from the military side and from the civilian sector, my work with 3M and previous companies, you know, knowing those people and them knowing what I was capable of, they decided to have me be the leader.
So, Colonel, like in the civilian population 10 years ago, I don't think too many people were worried about cyber protection. but you kind of grew up with it. Things changed. The internet came along. We had to protect our communications. We had to protect our ability to fire weapons. We had to protect. And I would guess every year there was a little more to worry about and a little more to worry about. And you got to this point now where we really have to pay attention.
Sure. Looking at the way that vulnerabilities and the risk for our systems have developed, you know, it's more our dependencies on the technological aspects of service and industry, right? The more we depend on it, the more vulnerable we are to not having that available to us.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Cunningham from the Minnesota National Guard's 177th Cyber Protection Team on Minnesota Military Radio. So, sir, when you set up this team, can you tell us, what was the mission? What was the thing that you wanted to pay attention to most other than finding people with some experience that could come in and help?
Well, that's actually one of the bigger parts of it, because in order to be qualified in the field, to be able to go on mobilizations and respond to emergencies on the stateside, it's more important to find people that have the skill set or that are able to learn the skill set versus what their specific military occupational specialty or what their job is in the military. So, on my team, we've got tankers, we've got infantry, finance, mechanics. So selecting the right people has been the biggest part of the job, and then making sure that I can get them off to the training that they need to be qualified in their roles.
Sir, we've had reports over the last 9 years of doing this show that when we deploy our Minnesota National Guard men and women overseas on a mission, they not only bring their MOS, their military occupational specialty, but they bring their civilian talents as well. And I'm guessing that some of these tankers and lift truck operators and so forth, in their civilian jobs, they were involved in some type of cyber, some type of internet. And that's the beauty of the Minnesota National Guard. You get more than just one specialty that you have experience in.
No, absolutely. So, we've got people that work in Minnesota cyber that, work for Target doing malware reverse engineering. We've got incident responders at Target and Ecolab and 3M were all over the place. And, those companies don't necessarily want you to sit in one spot forever and ever. They want you to move around and get other experiences, because the more experiences you have, the easier it will be for you to be able to find and protect things on the network.
So, Colonel, as you were putting together this team, is there educational opportunities or opportunities for your team to go and learn more as part of the Minnesota National Guard as they become members of the cyber protection team?
Absolutely. Right now, we actually have approximately 18 weeks of training that people have to go to meet qualification requirements outside of what their actual military job will be. There's a cyber common technical core. It's a 10-week long where you get really in-depth into, Windows and Linux and networking and security as a whole. And then, as you mentioned, you've got the cyber threat emulation and discovery and counter-infiltration type missions and mission protection. Those each have their own multi-week courses to go to as well to really hone in the skills that are needed for those teams.
So, Colonel, we've had the support of the employer support of the Guard and Reserve is strong in Minnesota, and our civilian employers are very good about dealing with deployments going back to 2001. I'm guessing if I'm a civilian employer and I've got somebody in an IT position, if they have an opportunity to join your team, and even though it means they're going to be away from the job for some period of time, they're going to get some education. They're going to get some knowledge that they could bring back to those businesses and help the businesses.
No, absolutely. In addition to those classes, we also, there's baseline certification requirements. So we have people going to SANS courses, which are right around with the examination to become certified is about $7,300 a piece, as well as CompTIA, ISACA, CISM, Certified Information Security Manager, and Certified Information Security.
So there's a little bit of pain for those civilian employers, but they get it back in spades because they get an employee back that knows much, much more.
Right. And then there's also a lot of online resources that we have available that an industry would have to pay for otherwise.
So it's really a great partnership between the civilian employers and the Minnesota National Guard, all working together to try to protect business and protect our military assets as well.
Correct.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Minnesota National Guard's new cyber protection team. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Cunningham from the Minnesota National Guard's 177th Cyber Protection Team. And we've been talking about how things have changed and how, just like in the civilian world and the military, the use of computers and the internet and all things cyber has grown and grown and grown over the last decade or more. And it caused a number of Army National Guard units around the country to stand up cyber protection teams. And Colonel, I understand there are a total of 11 cyber protection teams in the Army National Guard, and Minnesota is one of only 4 Army National Guard states to have a complete cyber protection team. So we're right at the front of the pack again, sir.
We are. We are. There's cyber units now within the 91st Cyber Brigade is our parent brigade. They're out in Virginia. And there are 38 states now that have parts of the cyber brigade as part of them. And actually, the battalion that I report to was just announced this week to be stationed in Indiana. So they'll have a battalion headquarters and then two cyber companies as well, a cybersecurity company and a cyber warfare company.
It's really inevitable that you have to take more and more precautions today, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Vigilance is definitely something that you have to look out for. You know, you only have to make one mistake and you can compromise an entire network. So
it's kind of sad to think that there might be hackers out there or people out there that want to hurt our ability to do our jobs, particularly in the military, but they're there and you have to protect against them. And so we're at the, it looks like we're at the leading edge of fighting that off. And that looks to me and sounds to me like a job that you're never going to finish. It's going to be there from now on.
Yeah, I would have to say you're correct there. You know, one of the things that that I tell people is, you know, nobody's gotten worse at this activity, right? So, you know, the more people get practice, the more technology speeds up, you know, the better people are going to get at this. And it, for a lot of people, you know, outside of the military, it's pretty lucrative from a criminal perspective. You know, unfortunately, you can make a lot of money in cybercrime, but so you can also get caught. So.
And we have to stay ahead of it.
Yep.
So, Colonel, we've heard over the 9 years that in the Minnesota National Guard, it's all about training, training, training until you get to the deployment, and then you get to use all that training so that the deployment goes well. And we've also heard that we have exercises like we just had some people down in Texas for the 1st Brigade Combat Team. We have Warfighter we got coming up. We got the National Training Center. Are the bad guys in those simulations going to do everything they can to break through and cause you headaches in cyber protection?
Well, probably not everything that they could do. You know, it's got to be worthwhile training, right? So, you know, the point of those warfighter exercises and is to get you to a breaking point to really focus on where you need to refocus your training.
So you understand what might happen and how to prevent it from happening.
Right. So, you know, our team is really set up well to train ourselves in a lot of things because we do have, you know, what they call red teams and blue teams, right? And then, you know, the red team is trained in penetration testing, think like the enemy, and the blue team is there to respond to what the red team does. So they work together and say, hey, this is, you know, the technique that I use to get into this system. You know, what can we do to try to patch those holes or you know, catch activity if there isn't a patch for it? You know, what logs can we look at? You know, what systems can we put in the middle that that might help catch what the bad guys are doing?
So, sir, I'm sure that there's a system for passing along to all the units throughout the Guard and throughout the Army what they've seen happen in the past and the actions we take to protect that, and you can work with those scenarios and make sure that you're ready for them.
Yeah, there's repositories out there. A lot of them are more on the high side systems, just based on, you know, how we were able to find things, and then again, what the technique would be to catch it and respond to it. You know, we don't necessarily want that information going out to the public all the time.
Of course not, sir. But I'm sure you're concerned with protecting your weapon systems, protecting your communications, being able to not be handicapped when you're out in the field on an exercise or a mission or a deployment. And the more you can practice and train, the better able you're going to be able to execute your mission when you get there.
Yeah, and a lot of what we do from a training perspective happens in virtual environments. So, you know, we'll take copies of platforms, put it in a virtual environment, and see how we can go about, you know, both attacking and protecting the systems so that when we're on mission or, you know, in the field, it's not going to be the first time that we see a lot of the things that get thrown at us.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Cunningham from the 177th Cyber Protection Team of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I think it's one thing to deal with situations that have happened in the past and to train for them. What about what's going to happen tomorrow? How do you figure out what the bad guys might do tomorrow? How do you prepare for something that you haven't seen before?
Well, really, you got to try to think like the bad guy. So, you know, we try to do tabletop exercises. We use our intel analysts to really be the bad guy in situations. And just like the infantry does when they're planning a mission, you know, you've got your intel folks that come up with enemy situation and, you know, they want to win just as much as we do. So, you know, they'll come up with some pretty crazy ideas of where, you know, they can try to enter something and where they can crawl into networks or systems after that. So, you know, some of the times it can get scary with what they come up with. So it's usually a fun exercise when working with those folks.
But all that puts you in a position where if something does happen, you're better prepared to react to it and fend it off. Sir, this is a new unit. Have you still got some spaces to fill? You're still looking for some spots to fill with some IT people and some cyber protection folks?
Yeah, we actually just filled one more intelligence analyst position today. So that brings our total vacancies down to 9. Most of those are going to be warrant officers. But I do also still have a couple of network defender enlisted E6 positions as well.
So in our previous discussion, it sounds like you found some folks within the Minnesota National Guard that might want to change their military operational specialty from something to come over and join you that might be more in line with their civilian occupation. But you can also reach out to active duty Army and the other forces, Marines, Navy, Air Force, and try to find people that can fill those slots.
Yeah, we have one special sergeant right now, actually warrant officer candidate, who came to us from the Air National Guard. He was a forklift driver, but does IT security for Ecolab. He, when he joined the unit, he had to take a reduction in rank, unfortunately, went off to 9 weeks of Army basic training.
Fun.
He actually did say he enjoyed it. So, you know, I know it's probably a lot different from when I went through back in 97, but I had a great time in there too. But having to go through multiple iterations of it might not have been as much fun. But then once he got back from basic training, he went off and went to warrant officer candidate school. And now he's awaiting going off to a 20-week school to become qualified as a cyber operations technician.
So if one of our listeners wants to join your cyber protection team, what do they do?
Well, they can certainly call up their National Guard recruiters, and we can work on getting them the information they need to fill out a packet. We have a board process for people that join the team. There's a questionnaire and then some administrative things that need to come along with it. But, you know, I'm also free to take emails. You know, I can give people out my email address if they want it. I don't think it's private, so.
Sir, I think everybody in our listening audience knows where to find an Army National Guard recruiter, and I'd suggest that's the place to start. And if anybody's already in the service, no matter what branch, and you want to transfer to a great outfit, they can always apply to transfer to the Minnesota Army National Guard's cyber protection team. Colonel, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Just try to play safe on your networks. You know, watch what you're clicking on if you can. Security is important you know, there's a lot more computers out in what we call the wild than there are on the defense networks or corporate networks. So those home computers are often used as attack vectors for the other closed off networks. So
be aware and be careful.
Correct.
Colonel, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Dan Cunningham from the Minnesota Army National Guard's 177th Cyber Protection Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Minnesota Family Services. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about Minnesota Family Services with the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Are you interested in serving veterans? Do you strive to improve the lives of others? A career with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs could be the right fit for you. MDVA is continually looking for qualified employees who want to work with our team. One person alone can't accomplish our mission. When you join the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you are joining a team that is committed to helping serve Minnesota veterans and their families. Whether you are a veteran, family member, or an individual, you can make a difference today by supporting our nation's heroes. We have full-time and part-time positions throughout Minnesota in both the Programs and Services and Veterans Homes divisions. To find current opportunities at MDVA, visit minnesotaveteran.org/careers. MDVA is committed to a policy of equal opportunity and maintains an affirmative action program.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to talk in this segment about Minnesota reintegration programs. And joining us now is Captain Ellen Emdy, who is now currently the Deployment Cycle Support Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program Officer in Charge. Captain Emdy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Captain, I understand you entered the military via an ROTC program.
I did, yes. I graduated from Minnesota State University, Mankato in 2014 and commissioned as a second lieutenant as a human resources officer.
And you've worked your way all the way up to captain. Have you had some pretty good assignments in between?
I have so far. I got the opportunity to be a platoon leader, and then I was rear detachment commander for the 147th HRC, and currently I am the battalion S1 for the 134th Brigade Support Battalion.
And, of course, that means a lot to those in the Minnesota Army National Guard, but one of the things I forgot to tell you, Captain, is we try to avoid acronyms in some of those references here so that my wife can understand what we're talking about when she listens to the show.
Understood.
So, Captain, you are now currently the Deployment Cycle Support Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program Officer in Charge. What does that mean?
So I have a dual hat here at Family Programs. I oversee four different programs called Military One Source, Building Healthy Military Communities, Citizen Soldiers for Life, and then the Yellow Ribbon Regional Outreach Coordinators. And then I'm also the officer in charge of the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program.
So your focus, as we said earlier in the program or alluded to, is Minnesota Family Programs. And the things you're trying to do is make all of these deployments and all of the things that our soldiers and airmen have to do easier on the families.
Exactly.
So can you tell us a little bit, the Minnesota Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program, that's been around for quite a while.
It has been. It's been 10-plus years. It started off as a deployment cycle support, and it is currently in its 11th year.
And, Captain, we've been talking about this for most of the 9 years we've been on the radio, but what I've seen is that there's a lot of training for our soldiers before they go on deployments and for the families so that they can find out where resources are and where help is when their soldier is deployed. And, of course, on the back end, when they come home, they've been gone a long time. They have to learn how to go back into the family, reintegrate into the family, and reintegrate into civilian society. But we've learned a lot in the last decade or two, haven't we?
Yes, we absolutely have. We currently have shifted. When it originally started, it was combat mission based, and now it's more lifestyle, and we have different missions, different issues, different situations happening on, and we try to cater all of our training towards what the unit needs and what they dealt with on their deployment.
So these deployments, whether they're short or long, how hard is that on the families?
It depends on the family, absolutely. Depending if it's their first deployment or if they've had multiple, But it can be very challenging when you lose somebody that's a rock in your life or somebody who contributes significantly, and then you have to pick up the pieces as they go. So it's a learning process, and it's different for everybody.
We're fortunate here in Minnesota. We've taken the idea of the Yellow Ribbon programs and developed it with communities and businesses. There's a lot of support available for the families.
Absolutely. We have over 45 vendors and resource providers, 15 different instructors that are dedicated to providing training and resources at every single Yellow Ribbon event for these soldiers and their families.
And while a soldier is deployed, if the spouse that stays home needs some help cutting the lawn or shoveling snow or just somebody, another adult to talk to, maybe have a cup of coffee, the Yellow Ribbon programs, the community programs, provide a lot of that support.
Absolutely. In every community, or there's 97 communities that are available and here to support. And if there isn't a Yellow Ribbon network in your community, we can help facilitate that. And if you need your lawn mowed, or if your furnace broke and you need help shoveling, or whatever your need is, you just ask and we will try to facilitate the coverage for that.
And those families, where do they start? Do they go to the website?
They can go to the website. They can also reach out to family programs, or we have three Yellow Ribbon regional outreach coordinators that are dedicated to Northern, Central, or Southern.
So the website is beyondtheyellowribbon.org or BTYR.org.
Yes, it's currently under construction. There's some transition time right now, so that your best bet would be to go to the YROCs, the Yellow Ribbon regional outreach coordinators.
Very good.
And your family assistance center that you get monthly calls from as well.
Very good. We're talking to Captain Ellen Emdy, who is currently the Deployment Cycle Support Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program Officer in Charge for the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Captain, I want to talk to you about the reintegration programs. Last I heard, when our troops come back from deployment, they get some briefings and stuff. We try to make that quick because they want to get home.
Mm-hmm.
But then do we still have the 30s? 60, 90 day, or has that evolved as well?
Yes, that's evolved. It's no longer the 30, 60, 90. It's post one and post two reintegration. The post one happens within 3 months, and then the post two is within 6 months of their return.
So let's talk about post one. What happens there?
That's more of the your TRICARE deactivation briefing. Every event focuses on communication, and then we usually do our unit risk inventory at that time, and then they have some time to speak to the 45 to 50 resource providers that are there to support them, and then they have a few breakout sessions that they can pick their classes that would interest them or they need the most, like if you need work on your marriage, if you need financial help, any topics that we try to cater to what all the needs that they could possibly have.
So there's a lot of information and resources available when they all come back for that post one. But are you also checking in on them to say, how are you doing? How are things going at home? Are you having any trouble as a result of the deployment?
Yes, we have military family life counselors that are there. We also have chaplain's assistant, and we have one-on-one rooms available for them. And we state that in the beginning as well. That if they need help or if they'd like to speak to anybody, they can connect with all the counselors that are available to them there or set up an appointment later.
So then they go back home and go to drills, and then they come back for post two. How much further down the line is that?
Depends on what works for the unit and what. So usually within 2 months. So that's the first one within 90 days, and then the second one 2 months after that.
So once again, you get an opportunity to say, how's it going?
Are
you having any problems? And I imagine these are proud soldiers. You probably have to tell them, if you are experiencing a problem, let us help you. Let's solve it. And then you can get back to work, get back to family life. There's no damage done if you need some help.
Exactly. And there's a lot of resources and counselors, different counselors that are available that are all private. So if they have any issues and want to set up an appointment that is secret, away from command or away from leadership, they're absolutely able to.
Now, you've been to these. Do you feel, is there any resistance to asking for help?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously you get that with some people, but then you also have some people that are like, we need this. My marriage is struggling right now and I need to speak to this person, or I've dealt with a lot right now. So it's person dependent.
And you said the chaplains are there. So if they're having some problems, they can go to a Strong Bonds weekend or weekend for where the husband and wife can get together and kind of start over a little bit
and
be no interruptions and kind of go through some issues and have a date night and try to work your way through that.
Yes. And we try to have it be their dedicated unit chaplain, so they have a relationship with them already.
And so the chaplains do a great job. They're important, aren't they?
Yes, they do, and they are.
Very good, Captain. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Minnesota Reintegration Program with Captain Ellen Emdy on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Captain Ellen Emdy, who is the Deployment Cycle Support Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program Officer in Charge. And we've been talking about reintegration programs and family programs within the Minnesota National Guard. And, Captain, can you just give us a summary again, the reintegration program, what's it all about, and tell us it starts before they deploy and it finishes up after they get home?
Yes. What the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program is it's a training and curriculum offered to family members to prepare them and the service member as well as the community for a deployment and what the deployment process can bring. So with the deployment, you have four reintegration events. You have a pre-deployment, connecting soldiers with resources and benefits available to them. You have a during deployment, which connects family members with resources and training to prepare them for their service members' return. And then you have two post-deployment events. The first one is more of a immediate need resource, connecting them with benefits that are available to them immediately. And then the second event is more of a lifestyle steady state, how to improve yourself, lifestyle resource training.
And as we've talked about in the first segment, that post one and post two from deployment is about making sure that the families and the service members are aware of all the resources available and asking, are you experiencing any issues and can we help get some assistance with that and clear that up so that you can get back to normal?
Yes, exactly. There are issues that come with deployment sometimes and it happens, and we try to identify them at the events by letting them know that there's resources there. We don't need to know what the issue is, but we need to let them know that there are available resources to them, and we make sure that those resources are known.
So, Captain, way back when, probably before you were born, when I was deployed to Vietnam, they didn't do much for the service members, and they certainly didn't do anything to help the families. We just went and came back and figured it out. But today, especially in the last decade, you've got kind of two paths you're taking. Number one, you're trying to help the service member to understand what's going to happen and what resources are available. And number two, help the families who also sacrifice know that there's help available and where the help is and how to reach it.
Exactly. The family members are also serve. They go along the experience with the service member and they pick up the pieces when they are gone for those 9-10 months. So they are struggling as well sometimes, and they have resources available to them too. And that's what the resources here, especially the Yellow Ribbon communities, are here to help make them feel like they are part of a community that supports them.
Captain, it's been my observation that we're very fortunate here in Minnesota. There's a lot of organizations, the Yellow Ribbon Organization, Minnesota Military Family Foundation. There's all kinds of resources available to help the families and to take care of any issues that happen here. And it's my understanding from the doctors at the VA that the more calm and under control things are back at home with the family, the easier it is on the service member to take care of the mission, focus on the mission, get home safe, and reintegrate more easily. Have you found that that's correct?
Absolutely. If they don't come home to, if there's no issues that they're dealing with, it's an easy transition, easy-ish transition, and it's definitely causes less issues if the person back home is struggling immensely. So if we can provide that support to them, it's extremely important.
So they still have to deal with the fact that one spouse, either husband or wife, has been away from the family for a period of months or even a year, and have to get back home and get used to the family again, get used to the routine again. That's tough enough without any other issues, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you pick up the pieces and you're doing your job, and you may change things and you may, try a different way that you think works better. And then, or you may like doing something that you picked up and then to give it away. And it's reestablishing those roles and responsibilities that, and how to navigate that with your significant other or family member or child even.
So, Captain, if our listeners want to help, I think probably the best route is to join a Yellow Ribbon community and be part of the volunteers.
Connect with the Yellow Ribbon community. Yep, absolutely. That's a awesome way to be involved, especially if you want to keep it close to your home. There's definitely a lot of other resources and opportunities for you. In Minnesota, we have so many programs that are available. But yes, the Yellow Ribbon Communities are a great way to start, and they are here and they're reviving, and they are actually initiating a new campaign that's taking care of the family members back at home as well. That's going to be launched in a couple weeks.
So, Captain, I think we need to talk about a cautionary moment here, and this is our soldiers and airmen are proud service members, and their families are proud, and sometimes they don't want any help, even though they might need it. So if you're a member of a community and you want to help a family of a deployed service member, how do you handle that so that you don't invade their space when they don't want you?
Well, just ask the question, you know, listen to them. If you're seeing they're struggling and hear that they want to talk to them. Let them know that there's resources available, confidential resources that they don't have to share with everybody. They can keep it to themselves and there's places to go to. But also respect the fact that if they don't want to use those resources, they don't have to.
So just let them know we're here for you. If you need us, please don't hesitate to contact us, and good luck.
Exactly.
So, Captain, we're just about running out of time. Any final message that we want to send to our listeners about the reintegration programs in Minnesota?
The biggest thing is there are so many resources available in this state. And sometimes it gets overwhelming knowing where to go to find them. So the Family Assistance Centers and the County Veterans Service Officers are an awesome point of contact to direct you to the place where you need to go. You may not know where to go, but they can help you find that way to the end of what you're looking for.
So for the families, start with the family resource group or start with the County Veteran Service Officer. They'll point you in the right direction and get you the help you need.
Exactly.
Captain, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
As Captain Ellen Emdy, who is the Deployment Cycle Support Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program Officer in Charge at the Minnesota National Guard. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yep, welcome. Well, thank you. It's been nice for you to have us back every month. It's very nice to be able to get the word out to our members and everybody that wants to listen.
Well, Tim's getting late in October. Are you still on that motorcycle?
I still have it. I don't have it today.
Hardcore. But, you're hardcore, Tim. But now we're coming up in wintertime, and yep. When you ask your riders to show up at the missions, they can drive their cage or their truck yep. or their car or whatever they want to drive.
However, they can come by bus if they want to. We just want them to be there.
Now, Tim, we want to talk about when you go on these missions, when we have veterans who have died, you don't go unless you're invited to go.
That's right. We don't. You know, and there's been some confusion with that. They kind of think we're just going to be there, and actually, we need to be invited. We won't show up. We won't intrude on anybody's privacy. We need to be invited.
So if a family wants to invite the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders to come to the funeral, they go to your website?
Yep. Go to our website. On the left side, it says invite the Patriot Guard, and we'll process it, and we'll be there.
And the website is?
mnpatriotguard.org.
So just go on there, look at the front page, and yep. just click and fill in the information, and yep. and once you've been invited, then how do you let the riders know?
We have multiple ways of communicating with them. One is we send out email. We send it out to everybody across the state so everybody can come. The other one is we have a newsletter, and we have a calendar. And our members and anybody can go to the calendar and look to see what's going on, and hopefully they can take a few minutes and go and join one, a mission, and it'll change your life.
And Tim, we've said this before. A lot of people think the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders are a bunch of old Vietnam veterans on motorcycles.
No.
That's not true, is it?
Not. No. But only about half of our members are actually ex-military.
So anyone can be a rider.
Anybody.
Just have to have a good heart.
Good heart. 3x5 flag and the wanting to honor our heroes.
And it's all about what?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
You bet. Now, Tim, this is the end of October. We're coming up on the holiday season. What does that mean for your riders?
Well, we've got all kinds of things going on. We've got, coming up all our holiday visitations at the vets' homes, and we got Christmas coming up, and we're going to be there to make sure that those veterans have a nice Christmas, and people are knowing that they're there and wanting to make them feel good about Christmas.
And we got a special mission coming up because there's another honor flight coming.
There is. That'll be November 2nd.
And you and your writers and a lot of other people get together at the end of the day after a very long day for a World War II and yep. Korean veterans. They come back from a whole day out in Washington, D.C., and you'd think they're all tired out, but they're kind of surprised because they get to see your writers and a bunch of other people and the flags, and it's quite an event, isn't it?
We're there just to welcome them home just like we do a regular unit that's been deployed.
You know, Tim, I heard a quick story at the last honor flight. There was a veteran's wife that was standing there and waiting for him to come back. And she told Jerry's wife, that this was just like she was waiting for him to come home from World War II 75 years ago.
Yep. That's what we want them to feel. We want them to know that they're honored and they're respected for what they've done.
Great stuff, Tim. I hope you and your riders have a good winter and put that motorcycle away now. I don't want to hear about any accidents.
No, we just, you know, ice is the only thing that really keeps us off the road.
Well, it's about time to put it away, Tim. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Cunningham, Captain Alan M.D., Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we learn the correct ways to send care packages overseas and hear about health care for our veterans with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.